Father, we thank you, God, for this wonderful day that you've given to us, for the privilege and opportunity to be in your house. I pray, God, you'll bless the message this morning. Father, you'll speak to my heart. Help me to say what needs to be said. God, help us to hear what needs to be heard. And help us to be obedient to the truth. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. I talk to a lot of people, not our church members in particular, but a lot of other church members, and I ask them all the same questions. How is your church going? And my friend, as far as I know, there's four or five churches in our community, in our area, that's falling to pieces. And I ask them, what in the world happened? Why are your churches falling to pieces? And many of them said, because things has got into our church that shouldn't be there, and the pastor has done nothing about it. And my friend, I want you to know that if we ever get a little devil in this church and don't deal with the little things of this church, and they grow up to be big things, and they'll break our church and split our church, I look around and I realize God's given us something special here. We're open door, independent Baptist church. We're independent of any kind of organizations, any kind of headquarters, any kind of anything, my friend, except for God. We're dependent upon God and God's grace and God's mercy and God's help and God's faithfulness. But I realize there's times in our lives that, my friend, we're going to have to roll up our sleeves and have to tighten our belts and have to fight the devil because he's on a rampage. The Bible says he's a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. He's come to steal and to kill and destroy. He wants to destroy this church. He wants to kill our testimony. He wants to steal what God's trying to do here. And by God's grace, as your pastor, I don't want to allow the devil to get 1 foot, to get 1 inch, to get 1 second of God's time, of God's grace, of God's glory, of what's taking place here in our church. I believe God's given us something unique. A church that still likes to win souls. A church that's still faithful to God and wants to go out and do something great for God. My friend, there's many churches that's sitting on the sidelines, and there's many a pastor that's just little puppeteers in the pulpit. A deacon or a trustee or a church member will pull their strings to get the pastor to say anything they want him to say. Many times I talk to pastors and they say, well, my church members won't let me preach that way. And my deacons won't let me say this. And my trustees won't let me say that. My friend, it's time for a pastor to be a pastor and stand up and say what needs to be said. If you have your Bibles, turn with me in God's Word this morning to the little book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And believe it or not, all I'm going to do this morning is just preach to you out of God's Word, preach to you out of a heart of love, but my friend, preach to you what needs to be heard this morning. The Bible says here in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, let's start in verse 6 if you will. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The Word of God says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be no otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Notice what it says here in verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This morning I want to try to preach a little message. Ye did run well. Ye did run well. We've got many people in our church this morning and churches all across America that started off strong for God, that started off wide open for God, that started off in the truth of God's Word, but something has happened and something has hindered and something has caused them, my friend, not to be doing what God has called them to do. Me and my wife was at a funeral. I'm not going to tell you who preached the funeral. I'm not going to tell you what funeral it was. The man of God got behind the pulpit, and every verse he quoted from his mind was out of the King James Bible. Every verse he read out of God's Word was out of the NIV. I said, honey, there was a time when that man of God, when that preacher preached out of the King James Bible. Every verse he quoted from memory was a King James Bible verse. But every verse he read out of the Word of God was out of the NIV. My wife looked at me and said, what do you think happened? I said, I don't know. But something has hindered him and caused him to get from the King James Bible to an NIV Bible, the filth of the world, the filth of the devil, the era of the devil, my friend, is another perversion of God's Word. I'm going to stand here today and tell you, you're looking at a young man, a young preacher that got saved on the King James Bible, that's living on the King James Bible, and by God's grace, the rest of my life, I'm going to preach out of the King James Bible, and I pray if I don't, that God would strike me dead and take me on to heaven, because a preacher's not worth nothing if he's not preaching out of the Word of God. But here's, my wife asked me, honey, what happened to him? And I thought about this verse. He did run well. Who did hinder you? Something hindered him from preaching out of the Bible that so many people hates. Why does so many people hates the Bible? Hates the King James Bible because it tells you what sin is. It tells you sodomy is an abomination against God. It tells you, my friend, that a lying tongue is abomination against the Lord thy God. It tells you all that we don't want to hear today in the time and age we're living in. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? I'm going to preach this morning, ye did run well. First thing I got to say is, who is hindering this church? We've got people here that's hindering the church. That's hindering the work of God. And you say, oh no, Preacher Scott's going to call my name. I wouldn't do that. I love you enough not to call your name, but I love you enough to preach the truth to you and tell you what God's Word says. I want you to notice this morning, who is hindering this church? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, here's the words of Jesus. He said, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not with the King James Bible, if you're not with what's going on in this church, if you're trying to cause problems in this church, you're not with us, but you're against us. Who's hindering the church? I want you to turn here, if you would, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, if you will, and verse 1. Let's begin reading here in James chapter 3 and verse 1. Notice what James said here. James was a strong man as far as his political terms, as far as his words that he used here. In James chapter 3, notice what it says in verse 1, my brethren. He's talking to us that are saved. He's talking to us that knows Jesus Christ as our Savior. He says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know what that verse says to us right here? That one verse says, hey, if you're able to control your tongue, you will be a perfect man. If you're able to control what you say, you'll be a perfect man. If you're able to control that little tongue that's in our mouths, the Bible says you'll be a perfect man and you can control your whole body. Notice what else it says here, if you would, in verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which through they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turn about with a very small hymn, whithersoever their governor listens. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasts great things. Behold how great a master a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, and word of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it be defiled, the whole body, and set on fire the council, the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of bird, and of serpent, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You know what's hindering our church this morning? Well, what's hindering our church this morning is those members who talks about everybody else and who talks about everything that's going on and talks about every member as just not like them. What's hindering our church this morning is some of us members got that little thing in our mouth that's flapping all the time and it's talking about everybody in the world instead of exhorting another, instead of praying for each other, instead of helping each other. We just will run our mouths and we will utter all kind of things to hurt people and get them down. And my friend, when we get them down, we kick them and kick them and stomp them because we don't want anybody to be better or taller or higher or greater than us. My friend, what's hurting this church is us not praying for each other, but us using that little tongue that God's given us to run everybody and each other down. The Bible says there's six things God hates, yea, seven are an abomination to the Lord. Let me read these things to you this morning. You don't have to turn there, you know these things. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these six things doeth the Lord hate, yet seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. I'm going to tell us, my friend, today, it's time for we stop running our mouths about everybody and everything in the church house. If you don't have nothing good to say, hey, bless God, don't say nothing at all. Hey, if you can't exhort the brother, hey, don't hurt the brother. Hey, don't sow discord among your brother. We had a father's fellowship day a while back, and we took the men to Schuller's. You know what I heard when I was at Schuller's? A man come up to me and said, Pastor, I want you to know something. Somebody's called my wife, and she's told her about somebody else in the church. He said, I'm not going to tell you who called. I said, you don't have to, because there's three other men has already called me and told me this same person's called and talked about the same person. My friend, what I'm going to tell us today, hey, we don't have to sow discord among the brethren. My friend, if something's wrong, you don't think something right. If Brother Jeff don't think something's right, he's not the one calling, he's not the one sowing discord. But if Brother Jeff, if he don't think something right is right with Brother David, have Brother Jeff come to talk to me. But hey, don't run and tell everybody that's in the church house, hey, that Brother David, he likes to wear pink shirts. And he don't think it's right to wear pink shirts. So he tells everybody that's in the church, hey, Brother Steve, Brother David wears pink shirts. Hey, Brother John, Brother David wears pink shirts. Hey, Brother Bud, Brother David, he wears pink shirts. Hey, if you don't like it, it's your own business. Hey, if you don't like it, hey, you just stick it to yourself and you just live it yourself. My friend, you like it or lump it. I'm going to tell you this truth this morning. Some things that's hurting this church is us running our mouths about everybody else. You want to run your mouth about something? You go to John 3:16 and you tell a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ still saves. You want to run your mouth about something, you tell everybody else, hey, how good it is in church, and you're glad you're saved, and you're glad you love Jesus, and you're glad you're on the way to heaven. What's hindering our church this morning? I realize we got a church that can do something great for God. We got a handful of people, my friend, we can be wide open for God, but there's just a few things that's hindering our church. And what's hindering our church is gossiping, running our mouths, backbiting, sowing discord among the brethren. The Bible says that's an abomination under God. There's a few things I don't like. There's a few things I really don't like. I don't like diet sodas. Some of you men like them. I don't like them. But I can't drink them. There's things that God cannot stand. And he gives you a whole list of them. And then the very end of the list, he said, hey, seven is an abomination. He says, out of this whole list, there's one thing in particular that I hate with all of my heart. The Bible says there's six things doeth the Lord hate. He hates a proud look. He hates a lying tongue. He hates hands that shed innocent blood. He hates heart that deceiveth wicked imaginations. He hates feet that are be swift and running to mischief. He hates a false witness that speaketh lies. But he says the one thing he can't stand above all is a person that sows discord among the brethren. You realize we're here to help each other out? You realize I need your help and you need my help? You realize, my friend, sometimes, and you don't understand this, but in some people's lives, this is the only family they have. You realize this is the only family some people have. You realize that some of you is the only friends that we have. In the world, I can count maybe 3 or 4 people that's my friends that don't come to this church, but I'm looking at a group of people and I say, hey, you're my friends and you're my family and we shouldn't be hurting each other. Some things that's hindering the church is our tongue. Our tongue. Bible says if your eye offend thee, it'd be better to pluck it out. If your hands offend you, it'd be better to cut it off. If your foot offends you, it's better to cut it off. And cast it from thee, and go into heaven lame, go into heaven maimed, go into heaven blind, then to have both eyes and both hands and both feet, and go to hellfire. My friend, I'm going to tell us something. It's better for some of us to take a knife and cut our tongues out and never say another word than to hinder the people and the family of God. You know what God says about these young converts? About these new people that's coming to church? About these young boys and girls, the Bible says, Jesus said this. Brother Johnny, Jesus said this. He said, it's better for you to hang a millstone around your neck and be cast into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. In other words, God said, it's better for you to die than for you to hurt the little boys and girls. The new converts, those who's visiting our church, it's better for you to die than to hurt these who is growing in the Lord. He said, Pastor, that's strong words. You tell Jesus. He's the one that spoke it. He says, it's better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and be cast into the depths of the sea than to offend a little one. We got little ones next door. But we also got little ones here that's just been saved. Not picking on them, but Esteban's just gotten saved, been baptized, joined the church, and he wants to live for the Lord. You know what? The best thing I could do for him is to help him. Best thing I could do for him is encourage him. Best thing I could do is try to be there with him and try to help him up and pick him up and tote him sometimes and carry him sometimes and drag him along sometimes and be his friend and be his pastor and preach the truth to him instead of looking down and say, hey, Esteban's not doing this and he's not doing that. And the best thing he could do is just stay home because he's not benefiting the church. Hey, thank God he's here. Thank God y'all are here. My friend, I'm going to tell us this morning, one thing that's hurting our church is your tongue. You don't know how to get it under control. Another thing that's hurting our church, and look at my notes here, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let me read this verse to you. A lot of this stuff is hitting home, not only to you, but to me. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required of stewardship that a man be found faithful. You know what's hurting this church? Not only us gossiping, but us having no desire to be faithful. Got a good group of people here this morning, I believe. I believe Brother Donnie counted this morning. We got 77 people here this morning. 77 people in God's house. You know what we could do? We could take this number and tear it in half because that's going to be what's going to be coming back tonight. Half of 77 people. You realize you're joining a church, you're joining a family. You should be faithful to your family. Brother Bud, what would it be like if you went home to tell your wife, Sister Edna, I'm going to be here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm going to spend a night at somebody else's house? Well, she won't like that too much, would she? You might do it one time, but you get back home, it'll be all over. You know what I'm saying, my friend? We've joined a church. You're here this morning because you want to be part of something. And my friend, we got to be faithful about this thing. Hey, Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And by God's grace, I want to be faithful. Hey, it's all right to take vacations. It's all right to get away for a little bit. Preacher Larry told me, if you don't get away, you'll go away. Hey, we got to get away sometimes. We got to take a break from the hustle and bustle and the great activities of the church. But hey, my friend, I want you to know something. You need to be faithful to God and be faithful to this church and be faithful to your pastor, not because I command it, not because I demand it, because God in heaven has saved our one of his souls and given us a family, given us a place to come to, and he's given us an opportunity to join ourselves together. Some things that's hindering our church is our tongue and our lack of faithfulness. Our lack of faithfulness about coming to church. Our lack of faithfulness about soul winning. About soul winning. I believe last Sunday night, Brother Vance White, My friend, if you was here, he preached one of the greatest messages on going out, getting souls saved that I've ever heard. You say, why was that one of the greatest messages? Because it spoke to my heart about a million people that's dying all around us, that's going to a devil's hell, and you can do something about it. I'm going to tell us, my friend, something that's hindering our church is us not being faithful to God and not being faithful and going soul winning. If I ask you today, how many of you this past week has took a gospel tract or your Bible and told somebody there's a guilty sinner and show them how to be saved? If I ask you to raise your hand, I won't. I wonder how many can do that. From your pastor, from your preacher boy, from your ushers, your deacon, your soundboard, your choir, Sunday school teachers, ushers. Everyone we got in here should be a soul winner. You know what's hurting our church? We're not going soul winning. You know what's hurting our church? We're not being faithful about what's God given us. You know one thing that's hurting our church? And you say preachers preach on this all the time. Might as well go ahead and preach on it. Tithing. Some of you don't care about giving a dime to this church. Some of you husbands and wives is working a job apiece or two jobs apiece, and you work all week long. You come to church and you give $10 or $20 and say, I paid my dues. I've given to God, my friend. Hey, God says he wants 10%. God says, hey, he's going to give you 100, and all he's asking is for 10% to keep the lights running, to keep the air conditioner going, to keep the church nice, my friend. I'm going to tell us we've got to get faithful about what God has called us to do. And God says, I want you to be faithful about tithing. Malachi, let me read this to you. Malachi, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. It's all right to go on vacation. Brother David, I believe when a person get back from vacation, they need to pay their tithes that next Sunday for the week they missed and for the Sunday they're here. I believe it's all right to give your money to anything else you want to give it to, as long as it's what God wants you to be investing in. You can invest your money in the stock market. You can invest your money in mutual funds. I want you to invest your money in something that's going to last for eternity in God's work. My friend, I know many times, and this might be getting close to home, husbands, we leave our tithing responsibility to our wives and say, wife, I want you to take care of writing the check. Some of us need to check up on it, make sure their wives is tithing right. They're going to tell us we're going to be accountable for it. We're going to stand before God and give them an account of what we've done. You say, preacher, why are you preaching like this? Because it's needful. Because other pastors had not preached this way and their church is going down, is going down. The devil's loving it. My friend, I don't want the devil loving what's going on here in this church. I want God to love it. What's hindering our church? I believe not only faithfulness, not only us gossiping about everything, not only us paying about our tithes, but I believe how we think about our church. We realize it's still God's house. It's still God's house. It's still a place where God lives. And it's not a place for you to wear anything and everything you want to. It's not a place for you to come and expose your body. Hey, this church building is not a place for a woman to come and expose her bosom and to show the cleavage and to show her thighs on her legs. It's a place to come to and be covered up because you belong to somebody else, because you belong to God. And your body is not for other men to be looking at. Your body is for your husband to look at. Your body belongs to God. And it's time for our women, my friend, to cover up what God's given them. It's time for our men to dress like men and stop running around and being sissified and running around and fitting in with the world and running around and pleasing the devil. It's time for our men to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to show myself a man today and be the leader of the house, be a helper to the church. My friend, I remember when preachers, I haven't done it, when preachers used to preach on women wearing open-toed shoes to church. You ever heard that? I have. I ain't preached on that. But I'm preaching you ought to cover your chest up. You ought to have enough of decency to wear something on your shoulders so when you raise your hand up, your bra don't be showing everybody else in the world. You ought to have enough of decency to wear a long enough dress so when you stand up, you ain't got to pull and tug and cover up everything. I've seen so much flesh. You don't have to go to a burlesque show anymore. You don't have to go to a strip show anymore. You come to church. and you see all the flesh you want to see. My friend, it shouldn't be that way. And it's hindering. It's hindering. Brother Pete can tell you, we used to have a woman. She's not here now. And Brother Pete, I believe God took care of that. She used to sit on the second row right here. She used to wear the lowest tops, the shortest shorts she can wear. And she never sat in her seat with her legs together. And I'll stand up here and preach. And there's no way in the world I could look on that side because of the way she's dressed. I believe God took care of that for us. She said she got saved, and a few weeks later she said she never did get saved. But she was coming to church trying to fit in and never fit in because she didn't have the one thing on the inside that she needed was Jesus. You know what, my friend? It's time for us to stop hindering this church and get in on the work of God. What else is hindering this church? I believe the tongue. I believe faithfulness. I believe tithes. I believe the way we dress in church is hindering what God's trying to do here. My friend, the hindrance to the church is how we live our lives. But I want you to notice this verse, if you will. Go back to Galatians with me real quick. Galatians real quick. Hey, the rest of it is going to be real quick, real simple, but I've got to give it to you this morning. The Bible says here in verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? What is hindering this church? The Bible says in verse 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. But notice verse 9. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know what that means? You know what it means? If you get just a little bit of leaven in the cake or the bread you're baking, hey, it's going to leaven the whole lump. You know what's going on? Hey, if you get just a little bit of sin in something, pretty soon it's going to cover the whole thing. Pretty soon it's going to hinder the whole thing. Hey, my friend, I think about when women go in the women's prayer room. Hey, it's not time for you to talk about everybody else in the world. It's not time for you to mention other people's problems. We've got sometime, Brother Jeff, when there's women going in the prayer room, there's a woman that goes in there and say, hey, we ought to pray for this woman because she's not dressed right. We ought to pray for this woman because she's doing this wrong. We ought to pray for this woman because she's not living right. Hey, my friend, it's none of your business. Hey, just pray for yourself and pray for them secretly. But hey, my friend, the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Pretty soon you come in and you start bad-mouthing everybody in the world. Pretty soon everybody else is going to jump on the bandwagon. You come in and say, hey, the preacher's not preaching good. Pretty soon it's going to spread all through the whole church. Hey, you come in and say, hey, God's not blessing. Pretty soon it's going to go through the whole church. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know what's going to happen? If I let you get away with something, pretty soon somebody else is going to do it, and 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 pretty soon the whole church is doing it. And it's out of control. It's out of control. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little leaven. You know what story of Joshua? When he was going to war and Achan took the accursed thing. He took the Babylonians' gold and silver, good stuff, and he hid it up under his tent. Achan hid it up under his tent. You know what God said? God said, because Achan committed a sin, I'm going to have to curse all of Israel. And I'm going to have to turn my back on them. And they're going to get defeated. They're going to lose the war. And some of them's going to die because of one man's sin. I'm looking at a church. I'm going to tell us here this morning, one person can mess it up. One person can destroy what God is trying to do here. The Bible says a little leaven, one little sin can destroy all that God's trying to do. It just takes one person to run their mouth, gossip about something they have no idea about, to kill what God's doing. I want you to notice, I believe it's verse 8. The Bible says that he's persuaded. Look at verse 8. Let me read it for you if I can. Verse 8, the Bible says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. I want you to know, my friend, God's never tempted you to do evil. You're visiting with us this morning. God bless you for being here. Hey, I'm not mad at nobody. I'm trying to help people. I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm trying to help them. But hey, I want you to know something. Anytime you're tempted to sin, it's not of God. Anytime you're tempted to do evil, it's not of God. God can tempt no man with evil. Anytime men or women, you have an opportunity to run your mouth about somebody, hey, God has not told you to do that. Anytime, my friend, you know what we have? Many times, Brother Jeff, we got somebody, they come to this church, I see them all the time, they got just a little chip on their shoulder. How they got just a little chip on their shoulder. They come into church. They got a little chip on their shoulder. You know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for somebody to come knock it off. And as soon as somebody comes and knocks it off, hey, boy, they just explode on everybody. And they say, hey, the preacher done this and that wasn't right. And Sister Tracy, she done this and that wasn't right. And Mama done this and that wasn't right. And Sister Abby done this and that ain't right. Hey, many times we got people to come to church just with a chip on their shoulder. And they say, hey, I dare anybody to knock it off, because as soon as you do, I'm going to bite your head off. Today, if you have a chip, I hope I knock it off, so you can come back next week and enjoy the blessings of God. The Bible says this persuasion for you to do evil, it didn't come from him that called you. It didn't come from God. Anytime you get any kind of sin in your life, it's not from God. It's not from God. Say, preacher, what you're tired of? I'm tired of people coming to this church and not caring. I'm tired of people coming to this church and not being consumed with God. People coming to this church, you know what they say? Bless me if you can, preacher. Choir's not been a blessing. The special song's not been a blessing. Their preacher's not been a blessing. They're ready to get out as soon as 12 o'clock comes. Hey, it's 12:03 right now. I'm on my second point. I got 14 more points to go. People come in, they're ready to leave. Some of you are ready to leave right now. You go ahead and get up and go if you want to. But I promise if you get up and leave, we will talk about you. Before you even hit them doors, I will talk about you if you get up and leave. My friend, I'm tired of people coming here and not realizing what God has given us. God's given us something wonderful. And there's so many people that's trying to hinder what God's doing. And I don't want anybody to hinder what God's doing. I believe it is verse 9. Let's look at verse 9 real quick. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 9. The Bible says here, if you would, a little leaven, a whole lump. In verse 10, the Bible says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. Not only is the hindrance, the leaven, the persuasion, but the confidence. This morning, I've got confidence that God can take what's been said and speak to your heart about it and get things right. You as parents, you that have children, a lot of us, most of us has children. You know what we do when a child does something wrong? You turn them over your knee. You'll pop their backside because you love them. And you expect that when you pop their backside and you give them a whooping, you expect that that whooping would help instruct them, to help train them to do what's right. I'm going to tell us, you know what some of us need to do, some of you mom and daddies. I'm going to just tell you the truth. Some of you mom and daddies need to take a good old leather belt, whip your child half to death, and then hug them. Hug them. We're letting our children get away with so much. Sometimes we let our church member get away with so much. But when you whip a child, you expect them to honor and obey what's going on. I don't expect you to honor or obey me. That's your choice. Some people's coming along, they're calling me pastor now or preacher Scott. That's wonderful. For you that don't know, I'm not Scott. I'm not Scotty. I'm Brother Scott, preacher Scott, pastor, whatever you want to call me. You should respect the position that God's put in a man's life. Most of all, you ought to respect God enough to say, hey, Lord, when you speak to my heart, I do business with you. And here Paul said, hey, I have confidence in you through the Lord. Notice what else he said. Let me read the whole verse to you so you get the full meaning of this morning. The Bible says this. Look at it with me, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubled you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Today, if some of these things is up your alley, if you're a person in a church that's gossiping, I'm going to ask you from this pulpit, I ask you, and it's recorded on CD, stop it. If you're a gossiping, you're running your mouth about everybody and anything, it's not helping. Stop it. My friend, if you're not paying your tithes, I ask you to please be faithful to God. and upon the first day of the week, bringing that which God has prospered thee into the storehouse. That's something you should do. My friend, by all means, if you're not dressing right to come to church, you let me know. If you're a man, I'll buy you a suit. If you're a woman, we'll buy you a dress. But come to church dressing for God, like you're going to meet God. Because we're going to meet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords one day. My friend, if you're not helping, and you don't have to help, you don't have to give one dime, you don't have to give one time, you don't have to give one thing to this church. But if you're not helping, please don't hurt. You don't have to help us, but by all means, you don't have to hurt us. What's hindering this church is us not being faithful. It's time for God's children to be faithful. It's time for us to get back on what God has for us and be faithful. I'm just asking you as your pastor. When I was in school, the teacher used to say this. She'd say, some of you's laughing, some of you's playing around. Don't make me call your name. You ever heard that, Ashley? Don't make me call your name. Now you know who you are. You better shut up and sit still and listen. As your pastor, I'm saying, don't make me call your name. Let God speak to your heart now. Get things right now. Because one day we're going to stand before Him and we're going to say, I wish to God I would have listened and got things right. Father, we thank you for this day. I don't know how to give an invitation. God, there's some people that needs to come to this altar. A lot of people needs to come to this altar. And we'll think that if we come to the altar, people will believe that we fit in one of these categories. That maybe we're the gospelers. That maybe we're the unfaithful tithers. That maybe we're the unfaithful members. That maybe we're those who dress in an improper way. But Father, this morning it's time for us not to care what other people think, but to care about what God thinks. And Lord, it'd be good for a lot of church members, as soon as we close this prayer and say amen, just to get up out of their seat and come to this altar and pray. Pray for themselves and pray for each other. Pray for the work of God. Pray for what God's trying to do here. And God, nobody will think bad about anybody for coming to the altar this morning. Maybe there's a visitor here this morning that needs to be saved. And God, it has not been a salvation message, but I believe right now you can speak to their hearts about giving our life to Christ. And Father, this is a joyful life to live. It's the greatest blessing in a person's life is to know he's saved, to know she's saved. I pray, God, this morning you'll help us to have a new beginning of obedience to God's word. Help us to find a place here at this altar and stay there till we get things right with God. Lord, I love you this morning. I need you. I want you to continue to bless this church. I don't want anything to hinder to this church and what God's trying to do here. Lord, I can say from my heart this morning, I love each and everyone that's here this morning. And I want the very best for them. God, I believe the very best for any of us is just to fall completely out of love with self and in love with Jesus and be pleasing in thy sight. Help us, I pray you would. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet if you will. Your head bowed and your eyes closed. Brother Robert's going to put on a verse of invitation for us this morning. The altar's open. You come to it if you need to pray about anything. You say, Preacher Scott, none of these things is in my life. I want you to come and pray and ask God to help you keep it that way. Help you keep it that way. You say, Preacher, there's many things I've been talking about that is not right. You ain't got to tell me. You ain't got to tell your family. Just tell it to God. Ask God to help us keep our mouth closed. You say, Preacher Scott, this morning God's not first in my life. He needs to be. He wants to be. He should be. preached Wednesday night about a conscience, the testimony of our conscience. Do we have a clear conscience this morning? Can we say everything's right this morning? Can you say right now, the situation I'm in, I'm ready to meet God? If He comes back for me this morning, right now, I'm ready to meet God. Let me ask you this question. People's heads bowed, their eyes is closed, nobody's looking, nobody's peeking around. Let me ask you this question real quick. Would there be somebody here that says, "Preacher, I'm going to raise my hand because I'm not saved and I need your prayers. Preacher, don't come to me, don't call my name out, but I want you to pray for me because I'm not saved." Is there one in here like that this morning that I can pray for? You'd just be willing to lift your hand and say, "Preacher, you pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not saved. You pray for me." If you're here this morning, you're saved, and you know it. We need to be living for Jesus. We need to be living for Jesus. Well, Jeff, you get up here and close us in prayer.